Christ be with you. As you can see, you can rest easy. We are professionals. We know what we're doing. It's my great pleasure and privilege today to introduce one of my good and dear friends, one of our own, one of the beloved who hails from the east side near Flint. She studies international relations and religion. Above all, she is a daughter of the King, Jesus Christ, and she has come today to the pulpit of hope to bring the good news. Would you please welcome one whose feet are beautiful, the beloved Rachel Scott. See, you see that? I told you they were all for you. Let's pray. Yeah, we do. Lord Jesus, you are King. And Lord Jesus, you are still speaking. Speak to us now through the power of your word, through our sister, Rachel. Above all, Lord, we come this morning into this sanctuary to hear your word so that you will remake us in your image. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all of hope said, amen.
Good morning. Advent can be called a time of preparation. We spend countless hours decorating homes and trees, purchasing gifts, writing letters to Santa, baking cookies and treats galore. But in all the midst of this Christmas celebration, it can be easy for us to tune out another voice that's been calling to us for quite a while. Our reading today comes from Matthew 3, 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began preaching. His message was, "Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near." The prophet Isaiah was speaking about John when he said, "He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord's coming, clear the road for him.'" John's clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey. People from Jerusalem and from all over Judea and all over the Jordan Valley went out to go and see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to watch him baptize, he denounced them. "You brood of snakes," he exclaimed. "Who warned you to flee God's coming wrath? Prove by the way that you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say to each other, 'We're safe, for we're descendants of Abraham.' That means nothing. For I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones. Even now the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to sever the roots of the trees. Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire. I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to be his slave and carry his sandals. He will then baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, gathering the wheat into his barn, but burning the chaff with never-ending fire." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. From this reading, there are many themes that are present. We have the Passion of Service by John the Baptist, baptism, the power of the Holy Spirit, the coming of the kingdom, and repentance. But to me, there's a kind of a key theme that's underlying the rest, and that is for the body to prepare their hearts for the coming of Christ. So what exactly is John the Baptist calling us to do? He says, "Prove by the way that you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God." I once read a story that seemed to elaborate on this idea. In Zen traditions of the Far East, there was a story about a university professor who went to visit the great master Nanin one day in search of some. "Master," he said, "teach me what I need to know to have a happy life. I've studied the sacred scriptures, I've visited the greatest teachers in the land, but I've not found the answer. Please, teach me the way." At this point, Nanin served tea to his guest. He poured his visitor's cup full and then kept on pouring and pouring so that the tea began to run over the rim of the cup. and across the table, and still he poured, until tea was cascading upon the floor. The professor watched this until he could no longer restrain himself. "It's all. Stop. No more will go in," he cried out. "Like this cup, Nanin-sen, you are full of your own opinions and speculations. How can I show you the way unless you first empty your cup?" I believe that this story is a representation of what John the Baptist is calling the people in the desert to do. Like the university professor in the story, he's gone through all the motions. The professor studied the sacred text, he's counseled with great teachers all over the world, but he's still incomplete. The professor has spent so much time doing everything he believes he needs to prepare that he's missed the mark completely. In order to obtain the life he desires, the master says you must first empty yourselves. Isn't that what John the Baptist is telling the people in the desert to do? To empty oneself is to prepare the heart for the upcoming work of Christ. I know as students, things surround our everyday. They tend to take over our actions by our thoughts. I know I'm guilty of this. Our days are filled with so many classes and meetings and homework and time with friends, but at the end of the day, where does that leave Jesus? Right now, my cup is overflowing with everyday life. But that's not what John the Baptist nor Nanin are calling for. They're telling us to empty ourselves of the stuff and to make room for Jesus. This means making room in our lives for Christ and for him to work through our lives. And he will honor that. Christ is good. So we need to stop compartmentalizing God and cast aside all of the things that are hindering God in our hearts. I believe that this is the core of repentance and of the preparation, is the casting aside of these hindrances. The words of Isaiah 40 kind of talk about what John is trying to convey. It says, "Clear the way through the will of the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God." These words are for everyone. They're not just for the people in the desert or those in the past. It's telling us to prepare our hearts through repentance and turning away from sin towards the Lord. I don't know about you, but this semester has been really crazy. I overexert myself way too often with classes, and I volunteer just about everything. But I've been going through the motions of my everyday things that I began to notice a change in my behavior. No longer was I making room for God in my daily routine. Not prayer, not reading the Bible, I just thought I was too busy. So I had to make a conscious decision to just stop. And one of the hardest parts was surrendering control and allowing God to move, which also meant that I had to cut back on other things. But this preparation and casting aside hindrances is not an overnight change. Just like a relationship with Christ, this is not a one-time deal. It's a roller coaster, and it's an everyday decision. Every day, I literally clear and re-clear the wasteland in my heart of everything that's taking the place of God. And when I speak of clearing the wasteland, I'm referring to fruit bearing. John the Baptist told the Pharisees and Sadducees that every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire. So in my own life, when I began clearing and re-clearing, I was recognizing what was good fruit and what wasn't, and trying to get rid of all the bad fruit. So over these next couple of the weeks, I present a challenge. When you get a spare moment, just think about a couple of questions. Ask yourself, what are the areas of my life that need to be empty now? What are the areas of my life that are not bearing fruit and are taking the place of God? And finally, what needs to be trimmed out? If you're honest with yourself, you'll come up with one or two things. I know I did. As I said, Christmas is a time of celebration. There's a ton going on, and it's a great time. But more importantly, it's a time to refocus our attention on our hearts and preparing them through repentance and the weeding out of bad fruit. And while we're preparing our hearts, let us be open to reflecting on Christ working in our lives and to make the room and be open to what God has planned, because his plan is awesome. And finally, let's relinquish control and let Christ do the rest. Because honestly, Christ will prepare our hearts. He only needs the room. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. This is the day of the Lord. And Father, I pray as we continue on in these next couple of weeks that we will just remember you and that we will invite you into our daily lives and that you will prepare our hearts for what you have planned. And Lord, I pray that you will just give us comfort and peace as we go into these exam weeks, because you are faithful and you are with us. In your name, amen. Go in peace.